Well, good morning again, and welcome to week two of our sermon series, The Core Disciple Making, where we're digging into one of our seven values as a church, which is disciple making. But before we dive into that, I want to quickly update you on something that we let you know about at our May congregational meeting regarding how we, and when I say we, I mean Revive Wesleyan, we were looking into the possibility of bidding on the Christ the King property in East Aurora. And just this past week, there was an article in the Buffalo News indicating that we were planning to make a bid. Now, we were looking into this because our East Aurora campus is flourishing. It's outgrowing its space, and we do not want to be capped, okay? We don't want to be capped from being an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace in that community or in any community that we are called to do ministry. Being able to reach out and invite others into a growing relationship with Jesus is important to us. It's the why of why we exist. So we were looking into that property, but we wanted to let you know that after hours and hours of prayer and doing all of our due diligence, we have discerned that it is wisest for us to pass on that. But with that said, the constraints in East Aurora, they still remain, okay? So we are praying about and we are looking into other God-led solutions, which we want to ask you to pray about as well, okay? Because again, we just have the heart, okay? We have the heart to reach as many with the full gospel as we can. So please join us in prayer about that in your quiet time, okay? And also, in line with our heart to reach more people with the gospel, I wanted to let you know that all of our campuses will be doing a fall fest for families in our communities, okay? So here in Springville, that's going to be on Saturday, October 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. in Fiddler's Green Park. And we want to host families well, okay? So to do so, we need your help, okay? We still need people to sign up that will decorate their trunks in family-friendly ways, have some candy to pass out to the kids on that day. And this is just a great and a fun way for us to do ministry together. There's a sign-up sheet at a table by the Connection Center, so please sign up to do that. And also, we have these handy-dandy lawn signs to promote our Fall Fest. They're at that same table, and we want to see these babies all over town and around the area, okay? So please grab one of those today, put it in your lawn, and again, this is all so that we can meet new people that God loves, okay, and wants a deeper relationship with. And we also want to bless those that we do know with a great, fun family event. So with that now, let's pray and let's dive into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to be together. We thank you for how you provide. We thank you for the church family. And Lord, you've provided your word to us to guide us in all things. So, Lord, we pray that as we continue to look at disciple making, that your word, Lord, would just rest upon our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Okay. Amen. Okay, so I think that if you and I, if we all took like maybe 0.73 seconds to think about it, I bet most of us could come up with someone in our life that we would label as a project. I heard the snickers. And don't nudge the person next to you. What I mean is we all have a few people, right, in our lives that just take a lot of energy from us, don't we? You know, maybe it's a friend who seems to always be in crisis in the middle of that, and we want to be there for them. We want to help them, but often we don't even know where to start. We don't know how to keep going, right? You're tracking with me? Maybe it's even a child who you are doing everything for as their parent to equip them to start making wise decisions on their own, but it seems that you just have to keep intervening. Or maybe it's a couple. Maybe you know a couple who is struggling, right, in their marriage. You desire nothing more than to see reconciliation, but it seems like for them it's roadblock after roadblock, getting in their way. We all likely have some of these individuals in our lives. And if we are honest with ourselves, we all likely are or have been these projects in other people's lives at some point, right? And it's not that these relationships are bad, but they just take a lot of our time again. They take a lot of our energy. But then on the other hand, we can also quickly probably think of individuals in our lives that we would not label as a project, but instead as a partner, right? Someone that actually brings life. Someone that actually brings energy to us. You know, maybe this is a best friend with whom you can like finish each other's sentences and someone you just click with. It could be thought of maybe even as someone as a teammate on a sports team, that just someone that you can tackle issues with. Someone you can almost just like read and almost predict their moves and you theirs. And so you can move together powerfully and beautifully in that relationship. It's kind of how we wish Josh Allen can be with all his teammates, right? My point overall is that we all likely have both project and partner relationships. And I bring that up this morning because I want you to think about this. I want to ask you this. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ, do you see it from his perspective? Do you see it from his perspective as a project or a partnership? Is your relationship with Jesus in his eyes a project or a partnership? How do you think he sees it? That's what we want to explore today in this, again, week two of our series, The Core Disciple Making. And again, we define disciple making here at Revive as fulfilling the great commission to make disciples in the spirit of the great commandment, which is to love God and to love others. And as we think of disciple making, it shouldn't surprise us, okay, that Jesus, you've heard of him? Jesus is the best example of a disciple maker that there is. And so we should look into what he says about it. We should look into how he did it. In order to become the best disciples and disciple makers ourselves, we want to learn from him, okay? So what does it mean to first be a disciple of his? Well, we started last week by how it begins by accepting what? His invitation, right? His invitation to follow him, his invitation to be formed by him. And so to continue today, we are going to look at Matthew, okay, the book of Matthew, chapters 11 and 12. You can turn there now in your Bible. You can look it up on your Bible app. And we're going to start in chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. But in these verses, okay, we will unpack the fact that Jesus' disciples are joined with Jesus. Sounds simple, but very profound. Jesus' disciples are joined with Jesus. And before we read, when I look at my relationship with Jesus, one of the greatest aspects of it is that he welcomes me into just that, a relationship. And he does that, you know what? He does that not based on my personal accolades, not based on my qualifications, which I think is far too often forgotten by people or misunderstood by people, even keeping them away from him. But look at verses 25 and 26, and we will see that as Jesus was ministering alongside his disciples, that he reminded them of this very truth. Let's read it. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what? What was it? It was what you were pleased to do. Listen, as we pursue the Father, he is pleased to reveal himself to us as if we were little children, meaning he doesn't look for the smartest, he doesn't look for the most religious person, but those who come to him with a faith like a child. And what does this do for me? What can this do for you, this understanding of this? Well, it serves to remind us that our relationship with Jesus Christ, it isn't intended to be a project. Meaning I don't have to tirelessly, I don't have to endlessly try to live up to his or anyone's, including my own, expectations. I don't have to do that for him to love me. But he, in fact, loves me despite them. And he welcomes me despite them. And so it is with this understanding that we can begin to see, church, how we are able to move into a relationship with Jesus that is much more of a partnership than it is a project, which is so freeing. That is so encouraging. With that, look at how Jesus continues in verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, church, Jesus is God's Son. And Jesus has all things. Can you say with me all things? All things. And where are all those things? Under his authority. Because of the Father. And I'm telling you this morning, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration can be replaced with beautiful things. Beautiful things like peace. Beautiful things like comfort. When we realize, church, that we are welcomed into a relationship with the Son of God who has been entrusted with all things by God the Father. Through that, we can trust him. We can trust him with all things, both big and small. Just like in a what? In a partnership. In a partnership. On the human level, okay, think about it. On a human level, when it comes to a healthy partnership, there is trust, right? There's trust. Well, God, through Jesus, has all things under his authority, and he invites us into this, into a partnership with him. That's good news. That's good news. And then Jesus, he continues with this, and don't miss this, okay? Don't miss this. This is so powerful. Verse 28 to 30. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Does rest sound good? You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now track with me for a minute, okay? In the previous verses that we read, Jesus described that he welcomes those with childlike faith. And in addition, he acknowledges that everything, okay, everything falls under his domain. Everything falls under his authority. And then in what we just read, he invites those listening. Are you listening? I hope you're listening, because he invites those listening to share in all that truly means, and it means rest. Rest. At the end of the day, church, Jesus wants us to experience rest. Rest in who he is. Rest in what he has done. Rest in how he loves us as demonstrated by what he's done. Rest. It's such a foreign concept today. And to do so, he used a yoke. Did you see that? He used a yoke as an example to his listeners, including us today, okay, as to what that looks like. Now, little agricultural lesson, okay? A yoke is a device which joins two entities together, particularly in farming. You see, during this time in history that Jesus was originally teaching this, agriculture was a major source of income for the general population. And so when it came to farming, oxen were often used to till the fields. And to double plus some their efficiency, these oxen, they were often yoked or joined together with a large wooden beam. And if the oxen were yoked properly, okay, and with a similar size and strength animal, the work would become far more efficient. A yoke would, in fact, it would enable trouble-free achievement, the levels to which were impossible otherwise if done alone. But if the oxen were yoked improperly, okay, you know, maybe say a weak one and a strong one, or maybe a donkey were yoked with an ox, the work would become very difficult. Dare I say impossible, as the two would be constantly fighting against one another. For the tension and the chaos caused by these opposing animals would create an unbearable burden. It would create an unbearable weight, rendering again the project at hand impossible. And this is where Jesus is going with this metaphor, okay? And in the times where he was teaching, the oppression of slavery and the overpowering authority of the Roman Empire and the empires in the Jewish society even before the Romans, that was all represented by a heavy burden of a yoke. But Jesus is saying something different. Jesus is saying, take my yoke. Take my yoke, put down the one, take off the one that is currently holding you down. Let it go, and put on me, put on my yoke, the way I say to live. That's what he's saying. You don't need to carry the weight, he's saying, of the current yoke that you feel. And listen, church, his words would have been a balm of healing to the exploited and the oppressed people of his day. Which is wonderful for them, right? But what about for us? What about for you and I today? I mean, we're not enslaved, right? Or are we? Well, truth be told, it certainly may not be in the same way today, but our society, church, our society oppresses and enslaves just as much now as it did then. What do I mean? Well, we go on things like social media, right? We go on things like that. We're overwhelmed by how everyone else seems to have it all together, right? And we forget that we are only seeing like 2% of the very best part of their lives. Yet we feel trapped, don't we? We feel less than, wondering what is wrong with me. When truth be told, they are struggling just like us to be enough. Enough, whatever that is, enough to the culture around them, just as much, if not more, than we are. And so to keep up, we do things, right? We do things like we go into debt only to be enslaved to the likes of credit card companies and banks. And to fit in, we enslave ourselves to things like the latest look or the latest fashion or the latest gadget or the latest home renovation. And to feel valued, we often sacrifice ourselves. We often sacrifice our true and deep values to be the enslavement of being liked or being admired or being adored or being pursued. And in the end, you know what? In the end, it leaves us exhausted. It leaves us exhausted and sometimes just as happens in slavery, we lose ourselves in the process. We lose ourselves in the chase. I know I fall into that trap at times, and I bet you do too. I mean, I want to do everything. I really do. I want to do everything that I can in my own power to be the best that I can be. But it's exhausting. For me, it's things like, you know, man, Keith, did you put enough time into the sermon? Or for me, it's things like, did I invest in my leaders at the church enough? Or did I miss reaching out to so-and-so about the dilemma that they're facing in their life? And then ultimately, that leads to an overwhelming feeling of defeat for me, where I conclude, I just can't do this. I just can't do this. I'm a failure. I'm not enough. And to me, you know what? As I reflect on that, to me, that all sounds like I'm more of a project than God wants to deal with. And to me, this all sounds like I'm not an asset at all to the culture around me, and that I'm always behind. However, listen, Jesus doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn, and Jesus doesn't enslave, and Jesus doesn't exploit. Instead, he invites me to be a partner of his, not primarily a project of his. And I'm telling you what, God has me here today to tell you, okay, to tell you that his invitation is the same for you. He wants to be a partner with you and for you to be a partner with him. And so what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 11 is that yoking oneself with him is lighter than all of that. All of that that I measure myself against and all that I unnecessarily put upon myself. He says his yoke is light. It is light compared to the pressures of the culture around us and that we put on ourselves so many times. We were never meant to carry all of that. But in fact, Jesus, well, he simply wants to be with us, to be yoked with us. Because you know what? At the end of the day, Jesus' disciples are joined with Jesus, not culture. And yes, we live out our identity in the culture around us, but listen, culture doesn't define how we engage with Jesus. Jesus defines how we engage in and with culture. Which leads to a second part of this morning's teaching. Because as we continue to read, Jesus speaks of another yoke that the Jewish people and we often too are unnecessarily under. A religious yoke. Let's look at chapter 12 right now, verses 1 to 8, where we see this interaction with Jesus and his disciples, and they're having this interaction with some religious leaders. Let's read it. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you," said Jesus, "that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man," mic drop moment, "for the Son of Man," he said, "is Lord of the Sabbath." Listen, church, the Pharisees were so concerned. They were so concerned about the law that they completely missed the point of what the Sabbath, a day of rest, was even for. Which was exactly what it was for. It was for rest. Rest and reflection on all that God has done. Again, church, Jesus wants us. He wants you to rest. And Jesus is more concerned with the heart behind the rest than when we rest. And we're going to come back to this specific idea of the Sabbath in a minute, but the Pharisees, okay, the Pharisees, they struggled to understand this because of all of the aspects of religion. that they were yoked to. Now, what do I mean by religion? Well, you know what? There are several different definitions of religion out there, but one that I find quite helpful and enlightening is this. A religion is a particular system of belief in gods or God and the activities that are connected with that system. So the problem, you see, it ends up being that when we focus on religion as a set of rules or a set of activities, we can easily find ourselves worshiping the rules and worshiping the activities of that system and miss something very important, which is the very and entire heart behind them. This is what the Pharisees were struggling with. And they did so often when it came to the ways of Jesus, again, the Son of God himself. We see that in them here when it comes to the Sabbath. And we see that with them in regard to their struggle regarding who Jesus ate with. You remember that from last week? Oh my goodness, sinners and tax collectors, right? And we see that they're getting lost in religion. We see that in them when he would heal people, when he would bless people that they wrongly saw as undeserving. And we see that in them when he, being God, okay, saw it fit to forgive people of their sin. And we often do these things. And we see things like this as well, which is why it is important that we remember today, okay, that Jesus' disciples are joined with Jesus, not religion. We are joined with Jesus, not religion. We've stated many times and in many ways how a relationship with Jesus, it isn't a checklist, because a checklist, ding, 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 is a project. A checklist is a project. As many of you know, we've been real busy developing the building next to the theater to develop kingdom spaces. And I'll tell you what, I have checklist after checklist of what needs to be done when. Because it's a big project. But being in a relationship with Jesus isn't to be a project. It is to be a partnership. And as we likely know, a partnership involves give and take. It is a situation, church, where work is put in by both parties, all to accomplish a greater task. And Jesus wants to and invites us into via a powerful partnership to continually expand his kingdom. And it's not a mandate, it's not a checklist, and it's not something filled with legalistic must-dos, but it is filled with healing get-tos. You and I get to be a part of this with him. That stirs my very soul. And yes, we live out our relationship with Jesus in the context of religious community, the church. But religion doesn't define how we engage with Jesus. Jesus defines how we practice religion. I hope you're getting this. And when we are yoked or joined with Jesus, we share in the workload that he is leading. And in fact, we find rest, and we are also invited to share in his rest. And rest, you know what? Rest is a form of healing. I mean, think about it for a second. When you're injured, when you're sick, what is almost the first thing that the doctor tells you to do? Get some rest, right? They encourage us that the world will go on without us for a little while and to just chill, to just relax. Well, you know what? In the spiritual realm and all the frenzy, church, we sometimes place upon ourselves under religion, we sometimes just need to know we can take a breath. We can take a breath. We can relax, because when we are yoked with Jesus, when we rest in Jesus, well, it is there that we can also experience his healing. So Jesus is telling us to do the same thing as physical doctors often do, to rest. To rest in him. So when you and I, when we're dealing with the brokenness or the grief or the heartache or the addiction of our, or the guilt and the regret of our past failures or our own inadequacies, the examples are endless. when we're there, God wants to extend his healing to you. He wants to extend it. And if that's you, I just want to recommend our healing page on the website. We have many avenues for that. But listen, taking time to be alone with the Lord, taking time to be alone, to stop working, to share in the rest that Jesus so deeply desires us to get and have and to experience, even to Sabbath for a 24-hour period, do you know what? That's part of being a disciple. That's part of being a disciple, exactly what we're talking about. And listen, I get it, okay? I get it. The concept of jumping full bore and full force into taking a full 24 hours away from work and away from being productive per our standards of production and performance, I get it. That may be alarming for some of you. It is for me, okay? But maybe let's dip our toe in. Let's dip our toe in the water a little bit this week for the first time. Or maybe this week a little deeper than you have. And to help you, you guys know we have these core journals, right? And in your core journals, we are providing several steps and ways for you to step into the healing of rest and of being a partner with Jesus this week versus being a project. In fact, on the back cover of this, you're going to see a tear-off section that gives you some guidance of stillness and silence for Christian meditation. And also, there's that extra teaching video. It's QR codes on page 17 of that. Trevor, South Creek campus, he's going to spend some time in that video on what Sabbath means to him. So be sure to check it out, because these are all tangible ways you can truly experience and go deeper with what it means to live out the fact, again, that Jesus' disciples, they are joined with Jesus. The question now and for this week is, what may that look like for you on your own discipleship journey? What may it look like? Think about it. Dream about it. What may it look like for Jesus to define the pace of your life? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, again, you are to be yoked, you are to be joined with him. And unfortunately, when we are yoked with him, when we're doing that, we feel that we have this need to push harder than Jesus a lot of times, to regain control, to earn something. But Jesus often says to us, he offers us rest. And he says rest often, rest regularly. And you know why he says that? Because he's got this. He's got this. What's under his control? All things. Right now, I want to invite the worship team forward as I pray. And I want to pray that your time in the core journal this week, and if you don't have one of these journals, you could still buy one today, $5 in the back, covers printing cost. But I want to pray that your time in the core journal, meaning your time in relationship with him, that journal's just a tool, okay? I want to pray that he will lead you to the answers you need to find peace, to find rest, and to find comfort in who he is. I want to pray that you find that versus anxiety or pressure in who you're not or who you think you're not. Because again, he's got this. He's got this. He's got you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I just want to pray a blessing over this entire congregation, Lord, that we could take a breath this week, that we could just even dip our toe in that sand of increasing our level of rest in you and who you are and engage with you, Lord, because that's what disciples do. We follow you and we allow ourselves to be formed by you, and that can't happen when we're running ahead of you all the time and pushing against that yoke. You want to partner with us. You don't see us as a messed up project. You see us as complete potential. And Lord, I pray that we would just invest our time in you and resting in you and what you've done to just hear from you this week so we can feel peace, so we can feel comfort and not anxiety or pressure. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You could stand if you'd like for worship through song.